Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor David Lindell, Executive Ministry Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Tonight, if you've got your Bible, I hope you do. If you don't, grab your phone, and not so you can look at other things, but so you can get the Bible app and go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. When I was a senior in high school, the fall of my senior year, my dad and I went on a trip together. And it was a trip to New York City. And it wasn't for fun, although it was fun. It was because he was preaching. He was going to be preaching at a church called Brooklyn Tabernacle. And many of you have probably heard of this church. It's very well renowned. We've got an amazing choir. The pastor's name is Jim Cimbala. And Jim is not only a prolific author, but their prayer meeting is just really astounding. It's just an amazing space. And so as we're at this service, I didn't know as a teenager. I mean, I knew the Lord. I was walking with God. I actually felt like God had called me into ministry, but I was still a 17-year-old kid. And so I'm in this service, and in the middle of the service, Pastor Jim says that many, many years ago, when he was just getting started, somebody had handed him a track, and it wasn't a track. A lot of times, you know, who knows what tracks are? Like, it's like a little piece of paper and a little pamphlet, and a lot of times they present the gospel, but there were, you know, used to be all kinds of tracks for different things. And in this case, it was a track that was intended to speak to Christians about God calling them deeper. And in particular, going to another place in your walk with God, a place of greater maturity and depth. And so he read from this track. And I remember being in that room, but I remember listening to him. And as he's reading about what God was calling him to do through this track, my heart started beating. Not because I didn't know Jesus and not because I didn't love God, but because in that moment, I felt the pull of the Holy Spirit to go to another level. New depth, new hunger, new passion. And so at the end of the service, we went back to his office, and I said, Pastor Cimbala, can I ask you a question? I would just like a copy of that track. And he said, I don't have very many of those. He said, I keep mine in my wallet, but he said, I did save a handful of copies, and I will give you one of them. And it's this little track called, and it's in my Bible somewhere, called Others May, But You Cannot. Others may, sounds inspiring, doesn't it? And it actually is. But the front of the track is what grabbed me. It says this, if God has called you to really be like Jesus, he will draw you into a life of crucifixion and humility and put upon you such demands of obedience that you will not be able to follow other people or measure yourself by other Christians. And in many ways, he will seem to let other people do things which he will not let you do. And when he read that paragraph, something inside of me, and now I understand it was the witness of the Holy Spirit, said, yes. I'm calling you deeper. And I was brought back to this track as I thought about where I felt we were supposed to go out of what was preached on Sunday. On Sunday, we looked at 1 Samuel 26 and this contrast between David and Saul and this powerful story illustrating what it looks like for a person to grow in godliness. And I mentioned just almost in passing, a couple of verses from 1 Timothy chapter 4. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul writing to Timothy says these words, rather train yourself for godliness, For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. I want to talk to you from the subject just for a few minutes. It's time to train. It's time to train. It's time. Okay, somebody's ready. It's time. It's time to train. And there are some principles regarding what it looks like to train yourself in godliness that flow from these two verses that I want to look with you for a few moments, and then we're going to take an action step tonight. We're not just going to absorb this intellectually. We're actually going to engage in drawing close and going deeper. If that's the cry of your heart, if that is the longing of your soul, if something as we're talking causes the witness of the Holy Spirit to rise up within you to say, yes, God, I want more, well, then we're going to act on that. But there are some truths from these few verses regarding what it looks like for you to train for godliness, to train yourself in godliness, that I think all of us need to reckon with before we respond to what the Holy Spirit would speak to our heart. And the first truth that flows from these verses is that training is your personal responsibility. Training is your personal responsibility. Look at what Paul says. Rather, train yourself for godliness. You train you. You have a responsibility as a follower of Jesus to actively engage in the discipleship of your own heart. It's very popular, and it's not wrong, for us to seek out people to disciple us. But Paul says to Timothy, first and foremost, it's your job to go deep. You have a personal responsibility to engage in the training process to grow in godliness. In other words, it's not your spouse's responsibility, and it's not, you know, it's not your roommate's responsibility, it's not your parents' responsibility. Oh, they have a responsibility. Absolutely. This is actually not even your pastor's responsibility. They have responsibility in the training of people in godliness. But first and foremost, if you're going to engage in what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life, you've got to be all about what God wants to do in you. I'm not talking about selfishness here. I'm talking about you taking seriously this call of God to say, I want to take you deeper, Sarah. I want to take you deeper, Tim. I want to take you deeper, Cody. And you say, okay, God, I'm in on that. I want what you are calling me to. I'm not expecting you to just do for me. I want to be in that fight with you. By the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to step into the game. Paul says it starts with taking personal responsibility, where you say, okay, I'm going to do this. Now, the New Testament word, godliness, this idea of godliness, if we went around the room and tried to put some definition around this, there would be a lot of opinions about what godliness is. What is godliness? If we're going to train ourselves in godliness, then we should know what godliness is. And this New Testament word for godliness in its original, which would be in the Greek, conveys this idea of a personal attitude toward God. And remember, your attitude toward God is incredibly important. Actually, the luminary, prolific writer A.W. Tozer said, what comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. Stop and think about that for a minute. The most important thing about David Lindell is what comes into my mind when I think about God, and the same is true for you. What comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. So godliness conveys the idea of a personal attitude toward God that results in actions that are pleasing to him. In other words, it's more than just mental assent. It's more than, okay, I've got good thoughts about God. It's what those thoughts do, the attitude that they then produce in your life that compels you to act in a way that is pleasing to him. I think this is maybe my favorite definition of godliness, that godliness is passion for God in action. It is your passion for God that compels you to act for His glory and His renown in the world. It's passion for God in action. This is why Paul writes in 2 Corinthians what he does in chapter 5. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. In other words, I'm about what pleases the Lord. I'm about what delights Him. I'm about what gives Him glory. I'm about what He's called me to be about. I make it my aim. The bullseye of my life is pleasing the Lord. This is godliness. This is godliness in its most, I think, distilled form. I want to be passionate for God in every action. And this call to train yourself. When Paul says that to Timothy, he's using some very expressive language. He's using this word. This word train is the Greek word gumnos. And it's the word that actually we derive our word gymnastics from. It's this idea of very strict strength training, very strict exercise regimen. So it smells of sweat, this word, honestly. Think of the guy in the gym. Think of the lady in the gym. And they're not worried about impressing people. They didn't come to show off a new outfit. They didn't come to tell you about their new creatine they picked up. They came to work out. Are you thankful for people who come to the gym? They're not there to impress anybody. They're there to actually do what the gym was created for them to do. Just to sweat and grunt and lift things that are too heavy for them, like push themselves. They came to push themselves. This is the idea of this word. It's the person who's got the barbell over their chest, and in order to get the weight back up on the rack, they're letting out like that guy. This is the person who is training themselves for godliness. And if that sounds like legalism, it's not. It's not legalism. This is passion. Legalism is you trying to earn something from God. Godliness is passion for God in action. I'm compelled to do what He's called me and put on this planet to do, which is namely to bring Him glory. That's why I'm here. That's why David Lindell has breath in his lungs. By the way, that's why you have breath in your lungs. I'm here to please Him. And I have to recognize, first and foremost, if I'm going to train myself for godliness and you're going to train yourself for godliness, it requires us taking personal responsibility of that training process. But not only that, it's not just about responsibility, it's also then about priority. So look at what Paul says. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way. What is Paul doing here? He's setting up a contrast. He says, bodily training is of some value. I feel like there should be an amen to that. Yeah, I feel good about that. I knew it was really about the spiritual side of life. And it is. That's where the priority lies. But bodily training is of some value. The problem is we live in a world that has this completely flipped. We actually live in a culture that puts a premium on bodily training. Puts a premium on how I look. It puts a premium on how I feel physically. It puts a premium on longevity. Death is not the product of unhealthy living, although that certainly can contribute to expediting it. Death is the product of sin. The wages of sin is death. Adam and Eve sinned and death entered the world. If you are going to grow in godliness, then what's got to have the trump card in your life is, does this produce godliness? Is this about what God, am I about my Father's business right now? Is this what God has called me to do? Is this what God has created me to do? Is this the assignment that God has me on? Is this in keeping with what His word says about me and what the Spirit of God has spoken to me about my calling and my direction? Does this Does this work with that? Because if it doesn't, it's out. Because my top priority is to please him. My top priority is godliness. My top priority, it's what I'm all about. It's why this is why I woke up this morning. Bodily training is of some value. But godliness is of value in every way. It's interesting because if you want to know, okay, how do I prioritize? How do I really do that? I mean, I think we could list a bunch of things, how we prioritize godliness, training ourselves in godliness. But Paul, right before he says what he says in verse 7, or at the end of verse 7 that we already looked at, look at what he says at the beginning of verse 7. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. This is an odd thing to say, right in front of saying, train yourself for godliness. It's an odd thing to say unless we're prone to do this. Maybe Paul knows something about the human condition that we struggle to admit to ourselves, that we buy into things that are actually in contradiction with the Word of God and cause us to get sidetracked from what our purpose actually is. I think it's, look at what this scholar says about this passage. He says, there are contemporary analogies. For example, in conspiracy theories, so-called urban legends, and endless issue-oriented, often polemical blogs and websites, Paul warns against myths. How crazy is it that 2,000 years ago, Paul's putting his finger on something that's more of a problem today than it was then? This is a smart guy. Actually, that's the Holy Spirit. That if we don't line up our lives with the Word of God continually, then we will always struggle and actually be unable to train ourselves in godliness, because this will suck that priority right out of our lives. He says, not only is training yourself in godliness your personal responsibility, but it also has to be your priority, because here's the good part. When you train yourself in godliness, it has a promised reward. Godliness is of value in every way. Now, I know this is obvious, but you can't be more all-encompassing than that. It has value in every way. Think about what he's saying there. Every part of your life, godliness benefits. It benefits your relationships. It benefits your career choices. It benefits when you got up this morning, just catalog all the things that you did throughout this entire day. Training yourself in godliness touches every single moment of your day. If that's the stated goal of your life, if that's your priority and something that you've taken personal responsibility and ownership of, well, then you're reaping the benefits of it in every single area of your life. Because it's of value in every way. It holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Here's what I like to say about this. Godliness adds unlimited value to your life. I'm not saying that, I know you're valuable, you were created in the image of God, but godliness consistently, constantly adds value to every single thing you do. It creates value. Isn't it amazing that God doesn't just say, serve me, do what I say, get in line, be like me, obey, and that should be enough for you. He says, serve me, follow me, imitate Jesus, follow in his footsteps, and guess what it'll do? It'll add value in every single area of your life, because it holds promise for this life and the life to come. When you walk in godliness, when you train yourself for godliness, you are lining yourself up with God's blessing. You're literally stepping into line with what he would want to do in your life. But what allows him to do it, what makes space for him to do it, is you saying, God, I'm taking seriously your calling on my life to go deeper. I'm not going to prioritize anything else above this, that I want all that you have for me. I'm not going to let anything get in front of this. I just want all that you have for me, because I know you're rewarded. The psalmist Think about this, Psalm 42, I think it is. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. When David writes that, he's not writing it out of have to, he's writing it out of want to. His soul doesn't pant for the living God because God said, you need to pant for me. Like you need to desire me. That's a command. Because somewhere else David said, taste and see that the Lord is good. In other words, when you've tasted, then you see, then you pant. Because I understand what God is offering. I understand. And the more you pursue him, the more you want to pursue him. And the more you're in his word, the more you want to be in his word. And the more you worship, the more you want to worship. And the more you go deep in your relationship, the closer you want to be to him. It's just the way it works. And something shifts at some point in your life where you go from I have to I want to I'm desperate for him, to I can't get enough of him. I just want to be where he is.